On the 9th, 22nd day of the month of January, the Passion of the Holy Martyr Polyuctus. During the reign of the Roman emperors Decius and Valerian, two highly respected soldiers, Polyuctus and Nearchus, lived in Miletina, city of Armenia. They were friends, and each loved the other more than his own life. Indeed, those who did not know them well took them for brothers. Nearchus was a faithful Christian, and had attained perfection in piety and the law of the Lord, while Polyuctus was a Hellene, still unillumined by the true light, but already adorned with virtue. He lived as should a Christian, and was like a fruitful olive tree, which required only to be transplanted in the courts of the house of our God. Hoping to convince him of the truth of the Christian faith, Nearchus frequently read the divine scriptures to him, and told him about God, while pointing out the vanity and degradation of idolatry. Nearchus's efforts were successful, and Polyuctus's conversion and salvation were not long delayed. In those days, heralds were sent into the markets and streets to read aloud the edict issued by the emperors ordering everyone to worship the vile gods. Anyone who refused to obey was threatened with torments and death. Nearchus, who as a faithful servant of Christ was preparing to be tortured and executed, became very worried that Polyuctus, out of the fear of the emperor's threats, might never become a Christian, and that the path to salvation would remain closed to him. Such was his concern that he shed copious tears whenever alone, and even in the presence of others, could not hide his distress. Polyuctus asked Nearchus why he seemed so unsettled, but received no explanation, and wondered whether he had offended his friend. "Have I grieved you somehow?" he inquired. "Have I insulted you or done something unpardonable?" Nearchus's eyes filled with tears, and he sighed from the bottom of his heart. "I have been thinking about how our love and friendship will come to an end, and am very downcast." Hearing this, Polyuctus objected. "How can you say such a thing, brother? Our love will last unto eternity." "Good friend," said Nearchus, "I am afraid that we shall indeed part, and that our separation will be more bitter than death." Not understanding, Polyuctus embraced Nearchus and entreated him, "Tell me plainly what you foresee, lest I die of grief." "Beloved Polyuctus, do you not understand that the imperial decree being proclaimed everywhere will sunder us?" Wondered Nearchus, "I am a Christian, you an impious pagan. My lot will be execution, and you will forsake me." At this, divine grace shone upon the noble Polyuctus, his thoughts turned to God, and he remembered a dream he had seen several days earlier. "Be of good cheer. I know that absolutely nothing can divide us," he reassured Nearchus. "Christ, whom ye serve, came to me in a dream, gave me a winged horse, and clothed me in a beautiful costly cloak, fastened by a golden brooch." Nearchus interpreted the change of cloak as meaning that his friend would put off the old man and put on the new, that is, alter his life for the better. "You shall divest yourself of heathen impiety and be robed in the holy Christian faith," he prophesied. "As for the horse, it signifies that you shall soon take wing to heaven. Verily, you have now come to know Christ." "Was there ever a time he was a stranger to me?" asked Nearchus. "My heart burned whenever you spoke of him, and as you read the Holy Gospel, I marveled at his words. I was not called a Christian, but certainly wished to be. Not a day passed when I did not consider abandoning the idols and devoting myself to serving Christ the Lord. So why do we delay, Nearchus? Why do we not confess Christ openly?" Nearchus was delighted to hear his friend talk like this, but fearing that the thought of his possessions, wife, children, or of life itself might weaken Polyuctus's resolve, he began to speak about the vanity of the world, and described the invisible bounties and splendor of heaven. He said, "Polyuctus, I count the blessings of this life as naught. Wealth, renown, and military glory hold no attraction for me. I long only for Christ Jesus. He is more valuable and desirable than anything else. To test his friend's single-mindedness, Paliuk is asked, "Do you place no value at all on martial glory?" Nearchus replied, "It seems to me, Polyoctus, that you still do not understand what wondrous, incomparable blessings in eternity Christ the Lord has prepared for his servants. You may think that I am ignorant of the celestial glory, honor, and felicity awaiting the righteous, but I suspect that I shall reach heaven before you. I told you that in my dream Christ clothed me in a mantle fit for a king. But I do wish to know, can one become Christ's soldier without having been initiated into the Christian mysteries?" asked Polyoctus. Nearchus answered, "Dear friend, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He never shuts the doors of his compassion in the face of anyone who turns to him. To those who come to work in his vineyard at the end of the day, he gives the same wage as to those who have labored since dawn. He opened paradise to the thief on the cross, bestowing upon him the same reward as on others who sweated much, toiling for their salvation." At this, Polyoctus exclaimed, "Glory to Christ the true God! Henceforth I renounce the world and its vanity, and confess myself to be Christ's faithful servant. I go now to read the decree issued by the rulers against the Christians and my Lord and God Jesus Christ." Polyoctus went to the market and read aloud the edict posted there, spat on it, and ripped it to shreds before everyone. Then, seeing statues being carried to a temple and people worshipping them, he laughed heartily at the foolishness of the heathen. Pretending that he wanted to pay homage to the idols, he approached them and threw to the ground and smashed 12, whereupon his father-in-law Felix appeared. This man had been charged by the emperors with persecuting the Christians, and was greatly distressed by what he saw. "Woe is me," he cried, "I have lost my son, who was formerly held in such respect by all. Neither the gods nor the people will allow him to escape." Polyoctus, who was jubilant at having destroyed so many lifeless idols, said to Felix, "Why do you grieve, father? I have just shown how helpless are your gods. If you have more, bring them too, and Christ's servant will cover them with spittle." Felix warned, "Our omnipotent emperors have commanded that anyone who dares blaspheme the gods be executed immediately. Death awaits you, for there is no circumventing the ruler's decrees. I will, however, let you return home and bid your wife and children farewell. I have forsaken everything earthly and am eager to attain the incorruptible blessings of heaven," replied Polyoctus. "Why should I be concerned about parting with my family? If your daughter wishes to follow my example, God will bless her. If not, let her perish with your demons." Felix wept and muttered, "Woe is me, beloved son Polyoctus. I see that Christ, the great sorcerer, has you in his power." "Christ has called me to the truth," declared Saint Polyoctus. "By his almighty right hand he has delivered me from darkness and death, and granted me light and life. He has guided me from error to the path of truth, deeming me worthy to be called his soldier." The torturers straightway laid hold of Polyoctus and began beating him on the mouth, but the saint was not cowed in the least. Meanwhile, Polyoctus's wife Paulina arrived and also began to weep. Seeing this, the Lord's favorite rebuked Felix, saying, "O most wicked slave of the loathsome idols, do not imagine that your tears and your daughter's will prevent me from confessing Christ. You would do better to weep for yourself than for me. Everlasting fire will be the reward for your abject service to tyrants." Hearing this, Pollyanna wailed, "O Polyoctus, my love, who has deceived you? Who persuaded you to destroy our 12 gods?" "Did I leave you without gods?" laughed the saint. "Are you now without divine protection? Give heed, Paulina, and acknowledge the one true God who dwells in heaven. Worship him alone and gain life eternal." Many in the crowd were won for the truth by the martyr's words and turned to Christ. Before long, the municipal judges and councillors assembled and ordered that Polyoktos stand trial. They attempted by threat and flattery to persuade Polyoktos to return to impious idolatry, but without success, so they condemned him to be decapitated. The saint rejoiced ineffably as he went to his death, and explained to the onlookers that a radiant youth, whom only he could see, was walking by his side, offering encouragement and urging him to forget everything worldly. Then Polyoktos caught sight of his father and God, the blessed Nearchus, standing in the crowd, and he shouted, "Save yourself, beloved friend, and remember our love." With these words, he bent his head beneath the sword and was baptized in his own blood. Saint Polyoktos was the first martyr slain for Christ Jesus in Militene of Armenia. As a result of his death, the Church Militant and the Church Triumphant gained many new members unto the glory of Christ God, their head. To him with the Father and the Holy Spirit is due praise and honor unto endless ages. Amen.